The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it. Am I supposed to believe, guys, that there is a chance, albeit small, that Jordan Love could start this weekend?
No.
No, you're not supposed to believe that.
Johnny, well, I mean, they want you to believe that.
That Johnny, is what I'm saying.
You're not supposed to believe it.
Shawnee High School.
Maybe the Colts will think that he's going to play, so we have to game plan for him.
Now, in 1995, yes, there is a definite chance that he would play. In 2024, there's not a cold whatever in a warm place.
Snowball's chance in hell.
Yes.
You can say all of that, by the way. Was that
you got sketchy over, you got jittery over Snowball? You didn't even get to the end of it where it would even maybe not be okay.
I thought there was an S-word in there somewhere.
Yeah, Snowball.
Well, that wasn't the one I was saying. It was a lot shorter.
Question. Was that your 1995 voice?
Yes.
Were you trying
that
to
That was
do
my
like
James
a...
Earl Jones, in honor of James Earl Jones.
Yes, of course.
How sad. He's so good.
We will get to that as the show goes on. So many iconic roles for James Earl Jones, who passed away yesterday at the age of 93. Gabe, the reason I bring this up is because all of a sudden, it feels like the Packers are doing sort of a misdirection, gamesmanship sort of thing with the idea that Jordan Love could be back. Now, I want to be clear on this. I said from the onset, when the injury occurred and afterwards he was walking off the field, Jordan Love, that is, I thought, oh, they dodged a bullet. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was going to be really bad. I know people weren't sure the extent of it. I think we've been a little spooked with some of the injuries we've seen around the NFL. Kirk Cousins' Achilles, Aaron Rodgers' Achilles. Not that we thought it was an Achilles, because I think those are pretty definitive injuries when they occur. But you just thought, this could be serious. He walks off the field. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, I don't think this is as serious as I initially thought it was. So when they came out with the timetable, Gabe, of 3 to 4 to 6 weeks, and I do think that people think it's leaning towards the front end of that, I don't know, maybe, and Chewy, we should probably have him fill us in on this, maybe it is just a pain tolerance thing for Jordan Love, and he can go out there and play with a sprained MCL because he's an NFL player. As we all know, they're sort of superheroes. They're sort of like, you know, members of the Marvel Universe, and maybe their bodies heal faster than the average human.
He's not playing on Sunday. He's not going to play the following Sunday. And pretending that he is just a disservice to everybody. Why do we have to do this? I felt, at least in your day, Chew, everybody was honest about injuries. Is this a mm-hmm. Belichick thing? Is this all traced back to Belichick when, you know, every injury became secret squirrel and everything? Anything you said to the media could just blow up in your face, because apparently everything now inside an NFL building is a state secret.
Well, why they do it is because like you said, it's not going to happen this week. It might happen week 3 weeks from now when they play Minnesota.
Yeah, that's what Shefty said yesterday.
They could do that. And the fact that they didn't put him on IR, which would lead me to believe that it's going to be 4, possibly 3. But why they do that is because they want the Colts to spend time having to game plan for him. We used to do things like that, too. I remember the Star Wars thing we had in Tampa Bay where Sterling was the quarterback. Brett was spit out wide. It didn't work. But we figured that they had to burn meeting time to prepare for that. That's how they believe. Whether it's good, bad, or... Wait. I mean, coaches love to beat stuff down to begin with.
When did you show this Sterling Sharp at quarterback Brett Favre wide
Star Wars,
thing?
I believe.
It was called
Again,
Star Wars, yeah.
Connecting the James Earl Jones story today as well.
It was in Tampa, I want to say in 94. 93.
Okay.
93. So it was a goofy where three of the linemen split out way to the sideline on the left with a receiver, and Brett was over there. It was kind of like, you know how they do on PAT extra point?
Yeah, like
where they do that
eight.
Goofy thing. It was that. It didn't work. I think we ran two plays, but we figured we were playing a tougher opponent next week that they'd have to burn meeting time to prepare for that, and we never used it again. So that's the philosophy behind doing things like that.
So you just want to waste everybody else's time?
Well, that's what I was just going to ask.
Yes. What percentage of it is we actually hope this trick-ish play works, and what percentage of it is actually we're just trying to mess with them?
I would say 70% is just messing with them.
Wow.
You know?
This is 100% messing with him.
This is he's laying his cards on the table way too early, which is fine. I mean, it's... Does anyone believe him? Do the Colts believe him? No. Now, it, like I said, in 94, you know, there's instances of Brett, on, which is true, on crutches on Friday and playing on Sunday.
He was listed as doubtful.
Yes.
I remember that game.
Well, but in today's, no, but, it ain't going to happen.
Okay, but you made the point yesterday, Chu, that they're not going to rush him back because they just invested all of this money in
him.
So, to me, that's a huge part of it. On the other side, though, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, and you get whispers that Jordan Love may, even if it's a 2% chance, that he may play this weekend against the Colts, and you don't prepare for him on some level versus the backup, isn't that negligent? Don't you have at least a responsibility to say, look, there's a chance that Jordan does? Theoretically, Gabe, they've been prepping for Jordan Love. You know, again, you don't jump ahead. They obviously had a game this past week that they were working on.
You'd have to prepare more for Malik Willis than you would Jordan Love. Because Malik's a little different in terms of the way he runs the football. Like, that's going to be different. More different than, I mean, again, Jordan's a really good quarterback, but I don't know how you prepare differently from him versus any other quarterback.
I guarantee they're not going to waste 1 ounce of time preparing for Jordan.
No, I think you have to be more, again, I think you have to prepare differently more for Malik Willis because of his ability to potentially run.
They have to pare down what he can't do.
Yes.
And there's enough film on him out there to show what he cannot do. All right. So then you go from there. I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know how strong his arm is.
Pretty strong.
I don't know if it's better to keep him in the pocket. I would think it's better to keep him in the pocket as opposed to let him run free.
Yeah, because he's a pretty good athlete.
They'll have lane discipline. They'll tell their DNs, do not let him get outside. And they'll go from there. Whether they spy him, maybe, because he's not going to be effective as a passer. I would think in your intermediate routes, he's not very accurate.
But don't you almost have to your point about messing with them, to your point about, you know, look over here, red herring, don't you almost need to throw the ball downfield early in this game to show them, and look, way off target, I guess, you know, the kick is up.
Yeah.
But don't you almost need to fool them into thinking that that is a legitimate part of his game, even if they've seen tape that indicate it is not?
Sure, and I think LaFleur is smart enough to know that. If I'm Indianapolis Colts, I'm saying, all right, A, let's keep him in the pocket, blitz him sporadically. They're going to run a lot of boots. They're going to run a lot of misdirection, and they're going to run a lot of dink and duck.
As long as when you got guys in motion, you only have the one guy in motion and not the two guys in motion they got nailed for illegal shift several times.
And I don't know if you want to motion him because he's going to have such overload. That's the problem is they're trying to feed him all this information, and when you add, motion, that's just another thing he's got to learn.
What?
I mean, because he's in control of when to snap the ball and when to set them in motion. And when he's trying to, you only have, by the time you get the play, you probably have, 15 seconds at most?
Yeah.
So you got to check your front. He's got to adjust the line. Then he's got to do motion. And then he's got to think of his reads. So
you're saying you would take the motion out. Because we have seen it become increasingly more relevant to the Matt LaFleur offense over the last few years.
You take it out and you add flips. So flip is different than motion. So if you want to set strength one way, on the first sound, all you say is flip. Flip to this. All right. So if you're flipping to strength right, everyone lines up left. And on the first sound, then you flip. And then he doesn't have to worry about anything. Then he doesn't have to worry about his foot setting the motion guy off when to snap the ball. Now, they're going to still have motion, but I don't think they're going to have as much.
If getting the play call is quarterback 101,
yes.
What's flip? Is that 102? Motion's 103?
Motion's
what are the
probably
levels here? Like, how far along do you have to be in your comfort of the offense to really have the motion that Matt LaFleur wants to run.
Mm. Obviously, motion is less important than your read. And I would say motion is less important than setting which way you want to slide the line.
Okay.
Right? But motion is, it's a pain. If it's not second nature or second hand to you, yeah, it's just one more thing you got to think of. You know? Flip makes it easy. I hated flip. Because it's just more work for me.
Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who talked about preparing for game two with the backup quarterback.
From your experience in the past, obviously not here because your quarterback's been mostly healthy, but what's the key to getting a second guy ready, you know, in season like this?
Yeah, it's not the first time I've been a part of a team where we've had to rely on our backup quarterback. It certainly happened. It's happened here. I mean, yeah, once.
LA or?
No, in Tennessee. Yeah, Mariota got hurt week one. We had Blaine Gabbert for, he ended up playing a decent amount for us that year. And, you know, you just got to, you got to try to figure out what, again, what can put your team in the best possible position, what he feels most comfortable with, and get him the reps throughout the course of the week.
Oh, but, that was 48 seconds of word vomit, wasn't it?
But the difference is Blaine Gabbert was there. This guy showed up, what, 2 weeks ago?
End of August.
Yeah.
Or whatever. How many weeks ago?
I mean, good enough that he was the backup, obviously, for the game on Friday. So he has done pretty good work in terms of being able to pick up the offense. Now, again, is he ready to start a game? We're going to find out on Sunday after another week of preparation.
That's why I almost lean towards, do you go with Clifford, who knows the motions, who knows where to slide the protections, who knows probably not 100% of the progression of routes, but at least knows it.
Clifford training camp 2023? You could sell me on that.
Yeah.
Clifford training camp 2024, for whatever reason, doesn't it seem like, Joshy, he regressed?
Yeah. He regressed to the point that they were comfortable letting him go. They brought him back on the practice squad, but they opened him up to everyone else and said, here, have at him. If he comes back, that's great.
How short a leash?
I don't think.
Or Malik.
I don't know what very
he's playing
long.
The whole game.
Very, yeah. Very, very long.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
What if they go down 17-0 and he's done nothing?
Don't think it matters.
Doesn't matter. Sean Clifford's not bringing you back. They believe, like, I understand where you're coming from here, too. They have made it very obvious they do not believe in Sean Clifford, and they are doing everything in their power to try to make it seem like they believe in Malik Willis.
I think short of, like, three pick sixes, he's playing every single snap.
I was about to say, I think if he's got five picks by the start of the fourth quarter,
this was a guy that if he wasn't traded, was going to get cut in Tennessee.
Clifford did get cut.
It's a good point. I mean, I know what everyone's going to say, just run the ball. It's not that easy.
Oh, of course not.
Yes.
Against a 10-man
box. And the way the offensive line played, you know, it's going to be a fascinating game.
Seems like you're working your way a little towards stressed here. Yesterday you were, it's fine. Looks like you're...
Well, I'm not, because I think it could potentially be just three games. And if you somehow win one and you're 1-3, it's fine.
So, I mean, that's the great thing, is that Shefty's saying it could even just be two games.
Yeah, let's hear from Adam Schefter, who yesterday was on the Pat McAfee show and did give his expectation for how long Jordan might be out.
I think it's going to be less. I think it's going to be closer to 3 to 4 weeks. And it depends on how long it's going to take him here. They'll see how he recovers. But I think the worst case was averted. Like, it could have been bad. You see him go down. Jalen Carter wraps up his leg on the left side, you see. And he goes down. And it was a bad look. But the test showed sprained MCL. That's probably 3 to 4 weeks. He's going to push to come back. If you look at the schedule, I noticed, I think in 3 or 4 weeks, they play the Vikings at home. And, again, we'll see how he recovers here. But that would be, I would think, a logical timeline and a logical spot for him to try to come back.
The only reason I say no is because look at last year. You know, when Aaron Jones wasn't playing, we're like, what the hell's going on here? Why? He's been out for this long. Mm-hmm. They seem to be extra cautious.
With an MCL
and
injury.
Not to think that they're not going to be extra cautious with the second highest paid player in the NFL and maybe send him out before he's 100%. That's the only reason I can't buy into the three.
But if it's 3 weeks, you know, and again, because he got injured on Friday, this Friday's 1 week, next Friday's two. So the Friday before that Vikings game would be the third week, which is, I think, why they're maybe hopeful that that could potentially be a target.
MCLs for guys in the 90s was 2 to 4. That was the time, 2 to 4. Now it's 3 to 6. So, I don't know. I'd be happy with three. I would take three all day long.
I'm glad that you brought that up, too, because I actually saw a lot of that on social media of people who were, you know, internet doctoring, WebMDing, if you will. And they were saying, like, oh, MCL, I've sprained my MCL, and da-da-da. Now, again, does the everyman responsibilities compare to playing at the most elite level? Of course not. But there was some sentiment of, like, an MCL injury is something that you can play through. There was even people who were saying, I don't know if it was Rodgers. Did Rodgers have an MCL injury at one point where he just put a sleeve on it? And like there was talk of guys who had been diagnosed with MCL sprains who were back on the field relatively quickly and just ended up wearing a sleeve or a compression sleeve on it to help with it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's something they decide to do. But I would be shocked if he's on the field this week. I would be shocked if he's on the field next week.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
800-990-3776. It seems like the Packers are leaving the door open for Jordan Love to be back out on the field. These guys are not buying it. Are you? 800-990-3776. We've got Jason Wilde coming up. We will ask him what he thinks of this new potentially proposed timeline of Jordan Love maybe being back on the field earlier than we thought. That's next.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It is time to check in with our friend and pal and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you on this fine Tuesday?
Hi, pal. I'm great. How are you?
Before we roll into 1265, James Earl Jones passed away yesterday. And for some reason, it hit me pretty hard last night when I saw the news. So we were discussing this morning James Earl Jones catalog. What is the first one that comes to mind for you, the role of James Earl Jones that pops for you first?
Peace, love, dope.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Peace, love,
now
dope.
Get the hell out of here!
I don't think I recognize that reference.
Oh.
Field of Dreams?
Oh,
when he first goes
dreams.
Up there?
Yes.
Yeah.
You told me your finger was a gun.
Yes. The list is long, of course. We mentioned Sandlot. We mentioned, obviously, all of the Star Wars films. Mufasa, which Chewie was, he let us know this morning, he's never seen The Lion King.
Oh, come on.
I probably fell asleep during it, Jason, but I've actually never seen it.
The good news is they've got the live-action prequel, Mufasa, coming out at Christmas. So you and I can go, and then we can see the live-action Lion King, and then we can go get a VHS tape out and see the original Lion King. We can make
a day of it,
you and me, buddy.
That sounds fun.
Maybe get pedicures too.
Is it a commercial? Not a commercial. Is it a cartoon? Sorry, Mufasa has a different meaning in our household.
Yeah.
Just does. I'm just saying. It just sounds like it. I'll talk to you in the break. You know where I'm going?
I don't want to ask.
Yeah, I actually have no idea.
I have no idea, but I'm too scared to ask. I'll tell you that right now.
Is it like a safe word or something? Anyway.
Is it like Deuce McAllister?
Moving on. Jason, what happened to Luke Musgrave?
That's a great question. He got beat out by the new Mark Chmura, clearly. I have taken so much grief for that from Tauscher, and it really ticks me off.
Why? It's fair.
I understand that maybe you don't have the most unbiased view when I'm heaping praise on a kid using you as the example. But that's why That's why Tucker Kraft is playing more.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does everything effectively as opposed to Luke Musgrave, who clearly there is some aspect of his game that if they only have one tight end in the game, they don't really want him out there. Like, and again, I was dealing with Maddie's knee injury and seeing Dr. McKenzie, so I was in the parking lot of the press conference yesterday because I didn't want to walk in late. Because
he's been calling people out.
Well, if I did it again, it wouldn't be joking the second time. So I just was like, all right, I texted Domofsky the question I wanted to ask, and it worked out. But, like, what exactly was that yesterday? Like, you've got – he didn't really want to answer the Tucker Kraft thing. And he kind of, well, that's just the way it worked out. The differential in snaps was 64-17, man.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to address that. He blames himself for Keyshawn Nixon taking the ball out of the end zone 8 yards deep when they are trying to preserve time. And that I just think was a coach covering for a player who did something he wasn't supposed to do. I obviously didn't get it communicated to him. And then the whole, this idea of, well, until Love is cleared, well, he's not going to play. If he's not cleared, it'll be Malik Willis. I just found it to be a very, and again, I wasn't in there, so maybe the tenor was different.
No, it wasn't.
Was watching
no, watched the whole thing last night. I left going, why did I watch that? Like, what was that?
Why on earth would we believe, Jason, that Jordan Love could potentially get cleared for the game on Sunday? Like, who is actually going to believe that?
So I think, first of all, I think the new, like, I'm not going to give timelines approach is, well, until he gets cleared, there's no conversation, which is a phrase he actually says later in the press conference. I feel like that's the new dodge, like the new way to dodge timelines and everything else is to say, until he gets cleared, we're not even going to talk about it. Like, and then leaving out this weird remote possibility that he's cleared by Sunday. Like, again, I don't understand it. If you're going to do the gamesmanship and the subterfuge, don't you leave it hanging out there publicly that it could be Sean Clifford or Malik Willis?
Mm-hmm.
And then that forces the opponent to look at both of them and waste time on Sean Clifford, even though they don't intend to start him. Like, I am leery of being too critical or questioning the approach since I wasn't in there, but I just don't, there's a bunch of things that I just didn't understand.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So a big question we are asking is, how many games can Malik Willis win? Because it doesn't seem to be a lot of glowing reviews, if you will, Jason, on what Malik Willis has done thus far. Is it possible that in the few weeks he has been with the Packers organization, he has grown by leaps and bounds from what we've seen from Malik Willis already?
No, I mean, and look, let me, I want to be very clear. I really like Malik Willis's potential, like Kit DeLuca in Pretty Woman. We really like your potential, kid. Like, I do. I'm intrigued by him because coming into that draft of 2022, I mean, there were people talking about him being, you know, the first quarterback taken. Obviously, that did not happen. He started out at Auburn, so he was a big-time recruit. It's not like he was just some guy that ended up at Liberty because that was his only option coming out of high school. But I'm always curious about guys that get caught up in challenging circumstances in the pros. And here's what I mean by that. So Tausch always talks about, and Chewy, you've probably talked about it too, you know, there are so many players in the league that might have been as good as you guys were, but they went into situations that were just not conducive to them succeeding, right? Now, you guys both, when you got opportunities, you seized them. Mm-hmm. I am not in any way going to credit the situation for either of you guys succeeding. But Tausch talks about how Seattle was the other team that was going to draft him, okay? And if he gets drafted by Seattle and there's no Earl Dotson locking up his back and Tausch getting the chance to play, he could be one of those seventh-round picks who through no fault of his own doesn't make the team, ends up going on tryouts every Tuesday. Maybe he finds a home. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he bounces around like Barry Stokes. But the situation was a good one for him. In Malik Willis's case, he tumbles to the third round of the draft. He gets taken by Tennessee. He is supposed to be their quarterback of the future to replace Tannehill someday. But then they have a regime change. The general manager who drafted him, who is one of Goody's best friends in scouting, John Robinson, gets fired in December. They bring in a new GM. That GM does not want him and makes that patently clear by then drafting Will Levis, who, by the way, in this weird triangle of quarterbacks, the Titans choose Will Levis because they like him better than Malik Willis. Will Levis transfers out of Penn State because he can never beat out Sean Clifford, which is a crazy Bermuda triangle. And now Sean Clifford can't beat out Malik Willis to start on Sunday. But who knows what Malik Willis is if he goes into a situation where he sits like Jordan Love behind Tannehill. They don't have a regime change. He's in his fourth offense in 3 years. Three different offenses in the 2 years and change that he spent in Tennessee, and now he's in LaFleur's offense. Like, I just don't, and this is no indictment of him, this is why I don't understand why he's starting. Because I don't, as bad as Sean Clifford might have been at times this summer, and he was bad, I feel like he has such a firmer grasp of the playbook, but I don't think you can say to the guy that you traded for to be your backup quarterback, hey, we're really excited about your potential. We want you to be the backup. But now that we actually need the backup to play, we're going to play the guy that our general manager said was underwhelming at times during training camp. So we're going to go with him over you. I don't think they can do that, and that's why they are where they are.
Which Josh Jacobs do you think is more representative of the one we see the rest of the year? First half Josh Jacobs, second half Josh Jacobs?
Well, I did, you know, that was another part of yesterday that I was confused by. Like, I thought making an adjustment in the run game and then it working the way it did would seemingly be a positive thing. And LaFleur basically shot that down and said they didn't really make any adjustments at halftime. In terms of the run game, they executed better. And that's, if that's the truth, that's great. But obviously the second half, Josh Jacobs is who they want him to be. I don't know, man. Like I saw Aaron Jones, what did he have? Like 90 some rushing yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. And 20 receiving yards. He was over 100 total yards.
I will admit I am a Aaron Jones stan, but at the same time, I figured who has gone to Minnesota other than Favre in 09 as a former Packer and succeeded? Longwell, I guess.
Longwell.
But Greg Jennings certainly didn't.
No.
Right? Like Billy Lyon never really.
Billy Leon.
There. So I don't know. This is the one drawback. I've been saying this to a couple people. Like, I still stand very firmly in the don't play your guys in preseason camp. But, like, whether you're unhappy with the defensive communication or the missed tackles or Josh Jacobs' production or whatever it is, this is the deal you make, right? Like, they went into the opener with, other than Marshawn Lloyd and A.J. Dillon being on IR, they were really healthy. And that's important. But you are not going to look very good in a number of areas if you play eight snaps against the Cleveland Browns backups as opposed to being old school Chewy and playing into the third quarter of the third preseason game.
Well, you know what Chewy said yesterday, Jason? This is a game
God,
where Matt
I don't
LaFleur...
want to know.
No, this is actually pretty, it's pretty relevant. This is a game where Matt LaFleur earns his paycheck because he will have to scheme this team up a little bit. Do you agree?
Well, I thought you were going to say he said Mufasa.
How could he possibly say that? He's never seen The Lion King.
But he's got some Mufasa slang that we're all worried about.
I was going to say, he's not going to get that reference. Whoopi Goldberg is involved there.
Yeah.
All right, so I 1,000% agree with Chewy, which I expect that to be in my open the next time that I'm introduced on the program. Because I totally agree. Like, it's up to him to figure out a game plan where they're going to run the ball with Emmanuel Wilson and Josh Jacobs, and everyone inside Lambeau Field is going to know that, and they still have to make it effective. And he has to conjure up a series of plays that will allow Malik Willis to be at least effective, or like Caleb Williams was for the Bears. Caleb Williams, we all agree, did not play well in his NFL debut. He threw for, 93 yards?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
But what didn't he do? He didn't lose the game for them. And credit to Jim Rutledge for putting it in those terms as a Bears fan. Like, he didn't play great, but he didn't cost them the game. And if Malik Willis can not play great, but not cost them
the game. I mean, 93 yards. Like, they don't get a special teams touchdown and a defensive touchdown. A big reason they lose that game is because their quarterback threw for 93 yards.
Jason, the balance.
Did he turn the ball over?
No. But you need to be better than 50%.
He also had a ball shoot straight in the air that got tipped, fumbled, and then recovered.
Jason, this is another caveat to it. He's got to do that, come up with a game plan for Willis without overloading his brain.
No doubt.
Agree? Yeah.
Like, Chewy, you never change teams, right?
No.
I don't know how. I don't know why I asked that, because I knew that already. I don't know how players move around. I understand they kind of use this trick, like learning a new language of, okay, this is the word in Spanish, here's the word in English, mm-hmm. and then that's how, right? I understand that. But, like, as a quarterback,
yeah,
like, it's not like he's a defensive tackle where he's there as a one-gap scheme,
your
ass up
totally.
The field, right? So, I'm not saying that Sean Clifford deserves to be the starter. I'm not saying Sean Clifford had a great summer. Neither of those things are true, but I am surprised that this was such a clear cut. And maybe that's part of LaFleur's mood, right? Maybe he's handcuffed here, and maybe down deep inside, where in a place where he doesn't talk about at parties, he wants to say, I want to start Sean Clifford because I know what he knows what the hell he's doing, even though he makes some bad decisions. He would never say that publicly, just like he wouldn't say, what the hell was Keyshawn Nixon doing taking the ball out 8 yards deep when all we had was 27 seconds left in the game. But they're going with Malik Willis, and they can do all the gamesmanship with their starter that they want. But Malik Willis is going to be under center on Sunday, and we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah, there's a Ryan Tannehill joke in there somewhere also, Jason. But as far as the things that I know, I have avoided it. I will not make you get into the source off, I promise. But there was a joke in there about the things that they say out loud and the things that they don't and yada, yada, yada. Thank you for hanging out with us, Jason. We appreciate it.
I just want to go on the record and say I am Team Diana Rossini on this. And I have pretty clear information as to why I am Team Diana. So what a disappointment.
I believe that you and I have been provided with similar information. I have shared it. I have shared it with the class outside of business hours. Thank you, Jason.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Football season is back, and I am excited to once again be on campus with Celsius Energy Drink, which fuels my active lifestyle and with their game day energy. Drink Celsius like me and college stars like Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, and others. You can explore all 27 refreshing flavors, sparkling or non-carbonated. There is a Celsius for every taste on game day, including the one that I am enjoying currently, guys. It is the sparkling cherry cola. That was an old 90s reference. I hope you got it, some of you. Stay active and energized all game day long with Celsius by your side. Celsius, live fit.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, could you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
color
could, like
egg?
An egg? To try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chimera household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Celebrating a Hughes Day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And we have been talking about those Green Bay Packers. If you missed any of Jason Wilde's appearance here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. Robert in the Falls weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. He says, in 2002, Favre sprained his MCL against Washington and missed the second half. Fortunately, the Packers had a bye the next week, and Brett played against Miami the following week. Favre later said that if the Packers didn't have the bye, he wouldn't have been able to play, and his consecutive game streak would have ended. That's an interesting little footnote in the story of Brett starting all of those games in a row and having that record for a while. It has since been surpassed. Drew Brees and someone else, Gabe? The consecutive starts?
Eli.
Just like we thought. Was it really Eli Manning?
Eli had a really long streak.
Yeah,
for a
he
long
did.
Time.
Yeah.
But Eli never missed games.
Do you guys agree with Jason, though? I do. In
before I starting answer, what, of, there we go. Thank you. What are we agreeing on?
Starting Clifford over. I'm just wondering if this came from Goody, because there was, I never got confirmation, there was a time where Holmgren and Ray Rhodes did not want to start Buckley because he sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron came in and overrode that and said, no, he's starting because he's the first round pick. But you think there's a chance that...
But there's a big difference between what Ron did and the current situation.
Because Ron was the boss.
Correct. LaFleur and Goody are on the same level. So presumably, if LaFleur wanted to start Sean Clifford, that would be his prerogative.
Yeah, sure.
Because Goody is not his boss.
Do you guys agree with that, or you think they should go with Willis? I'm just saying, from the standpoint, there is so much information that a quarterback has to know.
Sure.
And it is like learning a new language.
All right, so let me ask you this. What's the percentage chance they win with Malik Willis on Sunday?
I'd say 50-50.
What's the percent chance they win with Sean Clifford?
I'd say 50-50.
So it's pretty negligible.
But here's the thing. You cannot have the same game plan for Malik Willis that you have with Clifford. Clifford, you can probably pretty much have 90% of it in. 90%. He can't do, obviously, what Love can do. So you're not going to call those plays. But would Willis, I'll just say Willis to Clifford, 50%? There's no way in God's green earth you can have 240 offensive plays going into this week.
Sure. I'd agree with that.
You can't. With Clifford, you probably can.
Sure.
He's been there long enough. I mean, just quarterback goes to the line. What's the first thing? He's got to change the line protection. Okay. And then he has to remember, do I have motion on this or no? And then he has to read the coverage. Right. And then he has to, do I check out of this or do I leave it in RPO? And then you got to perform the play.
Yep.
Is this play action? Okay. Is the back going right or left? How many steps is that to open up there? Yeah, and keep in mind, this is fast. It's fast. You have to process extremely fast.
Yeah, so, I don't know if Sean Clifford can process anyway.
Yes. I was going to ask the same question. Are we sure Sean can do that?
Would you rather go into this game with 240 plays or go into this game with 110?
I want the guy who could run for 150 yards.
But that, okay, yes, that is.
That's really where I am with it.
Well, because he's going to have to do something
right,
like that.
Well, let me ask you a question, because this is, I would use him recklessly.
Yeah, same. Yep.
I would.
What if you need him for the following week?
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
it's like pitching in a playoff game.
Call Tannehill. Let's call Tannehill.
Sounds like a next week problem.
Yeah, that is next week problem. We got to win this week.
A little bit of housekeeping. Brett Favre does still have the most consecutive starts and games played record at 297. I was thinking of the passing, right? We talked about that, Joshy, the passing yards,
yes.
Which, by the way, has been passed by, Favre was passed by Peyton Manning, by Drew Brees, and Tom Brady for passing yards career all time. But yes, as far as consecutive starts go, Brett Favre still has that record. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we continue to roll on. Don't forget, we've got power rankings in the second hour of the show this morning. Chewy's favorite time of the week.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son, Chris, who is a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world, and they are joined by some of of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions, too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear Districts now, Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source
What's a
is...
click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
Good
getting
Good pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
What are you guys cackling about over there? What were you just cackling about? Bar tabs and whatnot?
Yeah.
Jack's American Pub doing their if the Jets lose, you drink for free thing. Okay. So last night, Jets lost with Aaron Rodgers starting the game at quarterback. And they've got their restrictions on it or whatever. You're there 15 minutes before the game, have to stay through the whole game thing. But last year, obviously, when they did it and Rodgers got hurt four plays in, I mean, people were running up their tabs. But then the guy from the Jets returned the punt for overtime for a touchdown, and the Jets ended up winning. So people who thought they were going to be drinking for free ended up not. And last night, seems like people really took advantage of the Rodgers return and not being very good in San Francisco.
Young man ran up a $300 tab during the game and then gets to walk right out on it.
$300? You think he's at work today?
I don't know if he has work. It's very interesting to me because that team didn't look good.
No.
Aaron Rodgers didn't look good.
What is their offense exactly? Like, I saw that
Breece
he
Hall and Garrett Wilson. Wilson.
Yeah, and an occasional Alan Lazard thrown in, apparently.
Yeah, when he shouldn't. But yeah, the defense didn't look that great. Aaron Rodgers, you can see him favoring that leg. And the stipulations of it are they can't be playing when the Packers are playing. The Packers and Jets aren't playing at the same time a lot. So if this is like a six-seven loss team, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a lot of tabs paid out. Didn't you say
that Hackett?
Oh, he's terrible, too. Like that play, I think it was their second series with the pitch forward. I mean, what are you doing? Number one, they're stupid. When you go all in with a quarterback, they should have traded for a receiver because Alan Lazard. What would Alan Lazard be on this team? Cut?
The Packers?
Yes.
Flipboard.
Right?
He
wouldn't be four.
I mean, he's better than Malik Heath.
Is he better than Wicks? Would you rather play Wicks?
I'd rather play Wicks.
Yeah, so he's...
Because Alan Lazard is what he is at this point. And don't get me wrong, like, Alan Lazard, a great story, undrafted guy, working as hard as... He's not a top three receiver on a good team.
Great blocker.
Yeah.
No.
But probably better blocker than Malik.
Yes.
Ah, they are dysfunctional, though.
So they have Mike Williams, the former Charger.
He's fine, though.
Yes, and he can't ever stay healthy. That's why you didn't see him yesterday, is because he's recovering from ACL. And then Malachi Corley, the guy who was living with Rodgers. But those guys better figure it out fast, and they better be good fast.
But isn't this defense supposed to be, so good? So good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know. Well, San Francisco was out without McCaffrey.
Yeah, and Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams had like a collective week of practice before going out there.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were full-fledged, ready to go.
Trent looked like it. Yeah. He was road grading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not our problem, right?
He also left with dehydration. I've never seen that. I've heard cramps.
Yeah.
Which is dehydration.
Right. It's the same thing.
Why they called
tomato,
it that? Like,
tomato.
Was he just really thirsty? I don't, like, did he cramp up?
I don't know. There used to be a line in Tampa Bay when we play there and it'd be hot at halftime to get a bag.
I believe it.
I thought Brock Purdy looked good. I thought he made some good throws out there.
Yeah, I'm coming around on him, I
you
guess.
You are, huh?
Yeah, okay, a little bit.
Yeah. Niners are going to be a problem. That was my takeaway from last night's game.
Yeah. Should have been your takeaway going in.
Yeah.
Well, it was, but then I was like, oh, no McCaffrey. Let's see if his offense is more one-dimensional. Sure wasn't.
Got a chip. I
mean, the one thing that he has always been able to do, Kyle Shanahan, wherever he's been, they're able to run the football efficiently.
Yeah.
Again, when they went to the Super Bowl in 19, when they beat up on the Packers in that NFC Championship game, none of those running backs really amounted for much of anything. They still ran for 1,000 yards in that game.
Their O-line is always pretty solid.
Yeah.
They always got a pretty solid O-line. No, they're good. They're good, but it's week one, so who gives a crap?
Yeah, I had no idea who Jordan Mason was till last night.
No.
Is he still on the team, by the way? Heard he got in trouble.
Well, again, because Kyle's doing the thing that Matt was doing.
Which
and trying
is what?
Trying to make it seem like Christian McCaffrey could play.
Look over here. Nothing to see here.
It turns out it doesn't matter because this kid ran for 150 yards.
All right, we got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have power rankings coming up in the second hour. We'll continue talking about the Green Bay Packers as they get ready for the Colts this weekend.